Here's an entry in my red clay diary from way back at the beginning of yet another war. The young veteran shifts from foot to foot, all 10 fingers drumming nervously on his chest, while the Vietnam War plays itself back to him, its images of fear and slaughter mingling in his voice with scenes of the violence to come in the Middle East. Those American soldiers are green, man. They're green. They need guidance from guys like us who were in Vietnam. We know what they're going to go through. We're standing in an institutional hallway, he and I. We don't even know each other's names. But we're talking like all men talk when they're informed just enough to be afraid. We talk about the spittle-across-the-border posturing that's going on in this January, a January that may make the official Iraqi calendar about one page long for most of its inhabitants, a January in which freshly dubbed widows and widowers on both sides will suddenly realize what war really comes down to. They told us we were over there in Nam fighting for our country, but I wasn't doing that. I was over there fighting for me, trying to stay alive like everybody else, the veteran says, running a hand over his afroed hair, smiling and gazing at me and through me at the projections in his mind. I'll tell you, I've cried like a baby in the jungle, scared to death. I've killed people, soldiers and women and children, because I was told to. I followed orders. The quartz clock sits coolly above his head on the wall. It is mid-afternoon. I ask, what do you tell your children about the war? How do you keep them from being as green about the idea of war as our soldiers are? He looks at the floor, stops fidgeting. I tell them it's terrible. I tell them it has to be done. I tell them it will have to be done now, so that we won't have to lose even more later on, when the enemy gets bigger and meaner, he says. Would you join up again today if they'd take you? I ask. No hesitation. Yes, those guys need us. They just don't know what it's like fighting on the ground in somebody else's backyard, fighting with one set of rules, while the enemy fights with a set of rules you don't even know. More talking and signifying between us. But that's for a later time. This man, whom I'll never see again, is a living casualty of war. And I, who will never again be seen by this young man, am a casualty too, just as you, just as all those women and children and grandmas and soldiers and liberals and conservatives and terrorists and pacifists and hawks, just as we all are. Just 3 hours later, the prickling at the back of the neck news starts trickling in by way of radio and TV. The war is no longer merely a conversation between two strangers. Where's the sense in all this, and where will it all end? The very courthouse hallway where I am standing and talking with this man is a testament to the fact that humans don't get along very well in most cases, else the courts and the jails wouldn't be needed at all. Thank goodness there are other institutions to appreciate, institutions that actually find a way to bring people together in temporary peace. The soup kitchens, the missions, the shelters, the kitchens of kindly grandmothers, all the places where people in need of small tendernesses can get them inexpensively and without condition, and with a smile or two thrown in just for good measure.